You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Wisconsin, over the past several years, has been a purple state. It's voted Democratic in the last several presidential elections. And on the other hand, it's elected Republican Scott Walker three times and given large majorities to conservatives in the legislature.
Historically, the roots of progressivism go deep in Wisconsin. To quote from a recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article, Wisconsin has been known as the first state to pass workers' compensation and unemployment insurance laws, key birthplace of public employee unions. And conservatism in the state has a history, too. In the late 30s, the state rolled back some union powers a decade before similar legislation, known as the Taft-Hartley Act, passed Congress.
These two strands of Wisconsin have existed side by side down through the decades, but the last 4 years have seen what may be a more lasting move toward conservatism through public policies, legislation, and a dismantling of Wisconsin's progressive legacy. Consider the actions and legislation moved forward by Republicans in the last 4 years. Act 10, restricting the bargaining power of public unions, and the approval of concealed carry law for firearms.
And that's just a partial list. The question on the table, is this a short-term Republican gain, or is Wisconsin in the long run becoming a more conservative state?
Here to consider those questions is Keen Winters. He's a financial planner from Schofield, a member of the Wausau City Council, and a member of the steering committee of the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau. Coming up next, we'll be joined by progressive commentator John Nichols from The Nation to talk about it. Right now, Keen Winters is with us. Keen, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, Veronica. Glad to be here.
Well, Keen, looking at the record for Republicans in Wisconsin over the last 4 years, it's a big list, from legislation supporting concealed carry, today's right-to-work law, which was just signed, Act 10. What do you think it says about where Wisconsin is heading politically?
Well, I think pendulums swing back and forth. And right now, I think it's swinging back towards the center after having been leaning left for a long time.
Governor Walker, with the legislature, but largely the governor has been championing a lot of legislation that we're talking about. Do you see his positions and politics as a mirror of where Wisconsinites are today on the political spectrum?
I think they may be. What I think has happened, too, is a lot of politics has been nationalized, and you really have a more national reaction that's drilling down to the local level. It used to be all politics was local. I think there's as time has gone on, advertising campaigns have become more effective. I think we tend to see the national trends that if you correlated the gains of Republicans in the state legislature here, they would correlate very well to the gains of Republicans in Congress.
And to look closely at Governor Walker, you're saying this is a correlation with a national move, but is there something special about Governor Walker that makes him more of a catalyst or a lightning rod in rallying Republicans in Wisconsin to a legislation, for instance, like right to work?
Well, I think Scott Walker is certainly a brave and clear politician. There are people who enter politics and they want to develop relationships, they want to work very slowly, they want to get there's a lot of give and take, and Scott Walker is much more on the get things done. And I think we had a class of 2010 come into the legislature that is on a get things done basis. And I think fairly you would categorize President Obama, particularly in his first 2 years, as a try and get things done kind of guy, and less worried about the long-term niceties. And there are pros and cons to both those things. Sometimes if you have the bipartisan support, you've established something that's lasting. On the other hand, it may take a long time to get that, and if you don't get anything done, people are also unhappy.
Now, there are strong Republican majorities in the legislature as well. Is there and does there seem to be broad ideological agreement between the governor right now and the legislature about where to land on the conservative spectrum right now?
I think you're going to see some differences when the budget is sorted out. I think the governor is, and I think they're all okay with it. And I draw those lessons from being on the city council. We can have debates. And pretty furious debates, and then the next day talk to each other about something else. And for those of us who are in the group, we accept that every idea deserves a worthy advocate and a worthy opponent. And I think you're going to see worthy advocates and worthy opponents within the Republican Party for a lot of ideas, and I think that's healthy.
Now, some moderate Republicans, like Dale Schultz, have expressed concerns about there not being a place right now in the legislature for moderate conservatives in Wisconsin. And that's one of the reasons Schultz stepped down. Is he right?
I don't necessarily think he's right, but there has been a change, and some of it, I don't know if it's generational. I certainly hear that from sort of older Republican statesmen saying, you know, things were different. If you were elected in the 80s, you'd, you know, spend two or three terms getting to know people, then maybe you'd get some legislation out there, you know, versus in 2010, from this area, we had Pam Galloway elected a senator. She was a senator for 15 months before she had to leave on personal issues. She got 15 bills passed, and it's unprecedented. And so, you know, the class of 2010 came in to get things done, and that, while I think that may be a difference, I don't think it's necessarily a bad difference.
And you mentioned, you know, the traditional analogy of politics being a pendulum that swings back and forth. On the other hand, when you look at some of the legislation that's been going through, there's been a lot of it. As you said, it's a get things done sort of mode. Do you see where we are now as being what could be a more permanent move to the right here in Wisconsin? Or do you see it as a for now kind of thing? And you think, you know, as usual, the pendulum may still swing back the other way.
I think the pendulum may still swing back the other way, but I really look at it as a move towards the center. So one of Pam Galloway's signature pieces of legislation was carry and conceal. We became the 49th state to adopt carry and conceal, and since then Illinois has joined us, so all 50 have. That's really moving back towards the mainstream rather than going towards the right. Even if you look at Act 10, which sort of, you know, gives the Scott Walker a lot of lift for being president, you know, you had 9 states that prohibited public unions altogether and 17 that restricted it. At the time when we passed Act 10, we were hardly on the outside. Right to work, we become the 25th state to adopt right to work. See, those things push us back into the middle of the pack rather than to any one extreme.
In a recent Journal Sentinel article by Jason Stein, Bill Krause was quoted. He ran the campaign in office of GOP Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus. And Krause said, and this is a quote from the article, "We don't know. What we don't know is whether it's a reflection of a changed Wisconsin or a group in power that have misread their mandate and are more lucky and blessed than right." What do you think in answer to that question?
I don't know that it's necessarily the question to be asking. I think there's a strong tie with what's happening nationally in national politics, and I think there's less Wisconsin politics than there used to be and more United States politics. And so I think it is more reflective of a national trend, which could swing the other way. But I think that national trend is going to have more impact than we think. And I think elections in Wisconsin are still going to be very competitive for a long time.
You talk about a national trend in politics, and if you look at one of the big conservative forces over the past several years, it's been the Tea Party, and one of the Tea Party platforms has been to return power to a more local level, to move away from a big centralized federal government. I know you're talking about political trends, but do you see any sort of disagreement there in those two?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but the truth is people demand more and more from government all the time, and it's hard to see government shrinking. I think the best we can do at times is really control it, and I applaud the Tea Party impulse to limit government. If we went back to the Progressive Era, so let's go back to 1910, and Progressive Era is about to start in Wisconsin with the 1911 passage of workers' compensation, you would find that state and local expenditures equaled 5% of GDP and federal expenditures equaled 2% of GDP, and none of those government organizations were in debt. Now, if you look at the Economist's most recent rating, the federal government spends 24% of GDP. State and local governments spend 14% of GDP, and we have nearly a debt equal to our entire GDP. And so you know, it's time for that to move back the other way, just like it was time to grow that and have a better government in the progressive era. I think it's time to have government retreat some here in the current times.
Keene, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Keene Winters, financial planner from Schofield, a member of the Wausau City Council, and a member of the steering committee of the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau.
Right now, we're considering the question, considering Republican majorities in the Wisconsin legislature, Governor Walker's three-time election wins, the significant conservative legislation that's moved forward in the last 4 years, think of Act 10, concealed carry, abortion laws, right to work. Is Wisconsin taking a long-lasting move to the right? Is Wisconsin's legacy of progressive politics yielding to conservative politics?
We just spoke with a member of the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau, Keene Winters, and now we turn to the progressive perspective with John Nichols. He's associate editor at the Capital Times and Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine. John, welcome to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, John, when you look at some of that legislation that Rob was just listing there, Act 10, right to work, voter ID law, which is still in limbo, concealed carry, and, of course, the three-time election of Governor Walker, is Wisconsin becoming a conservative state in a way that might be more permanent?
No. In fact,
interview over.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me that we have people who have this need, and I'm certainly not suggesting that Keene did, you know, but people have this need to proclaim everything settled. And I remember when George Bush was reelected in 2004, Karl Rove said, you know, look, we are permanently in this game. We're in great shape. And then when Barack Obama was elected in 2008, very overwhelmingly, there were Democrats running around going, oh, we are permanently in this thing. We got it. And the truth of the matter is that we have an incredibly fluid, constantly evolving politics. Wisconsin has a reputation as a progressive state for reasons that have a lot to do with politics, but not only politics. There are histories of ethnicity, of rural development, all sorts of things that feed into that, education itself. And look at where one of the great kind of linchpins of progressivism came under assault recently, the Wisconsin idea. What did everybody come screaming and running to say? Oh, we're not going to mess with the Wisconsin idea. So the notion that we've permanently gone one way or the other, I think, is it's a romantic notion that may comfort some people. But if you're serious about the reality of the state, what you will know is that this is a state that believes passionately. It can be very right-wing, and it can be very left-wing. And I know some people like to say, oh, we're going toward the middle. It's very rare we find that middle.
Right, and that is what Keene Winters said. He sees this as a representation of a move to the center more than a move to the right, and he cites other states, many of whom, you know, have adopted concealed carry and right to work. Wisconsin's a 25th state. So is there a case to be made that Wisconsin is moving center, not right?
No, these are very right-wing policies. Wisconsin has moved right. We are in a right-wing moment. We should not fantasize that it's something different than that. And amazingly enough, many of my conservative friends felt in the 1970s and early 1980s, whoa, this state has gone so far left, we can't recognize it. And the reality is that we have been in both places, sometimes in very rapid succession. In the mid-1930s, Phil LaFollette was the governor of Wisconsin and leading the country on progressive, and I would argue even often very left-wing legislation. And then 1938, Julius Heil, a big businessman from Milwaukee, got elected. He started ripping it all up, undoing it all. And then, you know, 4 years later, Orland Loomis got elected and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to run through all the governors, but what I want to tell you is, you know, we've gone left, we've gone right. We had, if you can imagine it, you had a LaFollette in the U.S. Senate representing Wisconsin. He was replaced by Joe McCarthy. Left, right. And then when Joe McCarthy went, he was replaced by Bill Proxmire. A year later, Gaylord Nelson's elected, and suddenly we're in the glories of progressivism.
And yet, if you look at some of the legislation passed, it's been very striking in its scope. Look at Act 10, for instance. That would be a hard one for Democrats to come back and restore. Does that make it harder for the pendulum to swing? Is that something Democrats should be thinking about?
I don't know how hard it is to restore. To be honest, you know, Indiana back in the 50s did right to work, and then they had the Johnson landslide of 64. Guess what happened in 65? They undid right to work. The fact of the matter is that states do go back and forth. One of the things that people fall into a trap on is the assumption that because institutions that are traditionally associated with progressive politics are weakened, that new institutions will not develop, and that there isn't an evolution in politics. The reality is there is an evolution in politics. And I think unions will remain a presence in Wisconsin. In fact, I think they actually, in some areas and in some ways, will be stronger. We see a $15 minimum wage movement that's very strong in Milwaukee and growing. The Working Families Party is coming into Wisconsin to organize and push on some of these labor progressive issues. So I always believe that if we cling to everything that we had, then yes, people are going to say to us, you know, look, I'm not sure I want more of that. You know, I want change. If we accept that people want change, but I don't think they want, in any kind of realistic way, right-to-work laws. I don't think they want to lower funding for public education, public services, and a lot of things that underpin what's great about Wisconsin. It may take an election cycle or so for people to come around, but there's an awful lot of history that says they do.
You talked a bit about the progressive roots that have gone down through the years in Wisconsin, fighting Bob La Follette, workplace compensation, unemployment. Mm-hmm. And yet right now, does it seem as though the Wisconsin that we are in 2015, that people would like more conservative fiscal policies, social policies, and that maybe some of that is not as resonant with people anymore?
Well, maybe if Scott Walker had run on that in 2010 or 2014, we'd know. But the reality is that Scott Walker ran around in 2014 and kept saying, when he was asked about right to work, oh, I don't want that. I'm not going to go near that. Right? It would undermine and distract and all these negative things. So average person who might actually trust their governor, listen to him, he's telling them, oh, we're not going to do that kind of stuff. And then today there's a picture of him holding it up with his bill, the bill with his signature on it. Now, I don't want to suggest to people that sometimes politicians don't always tell you exactly what they're going to do. But the reality is that we have had some very capable politicians tell us some things, and people have voted the way they chose to vote. But people wake up to things. You'd be surprised how the ricochet occurs and sometimes how quickly it occurs.
Now, Wisconsin is in play, at least as far as I understand it right now, in a big way for 2016, and Democrats seem to need a win here if they would like to retake the Senate. What does this augur for the next presidential election if Wisconsin is moving in this direction? Does this mean that this could change national politics?
If indeed I'm wrong on everything, it could have a change. On the other hand, if we follow the pattern we have since 1988, and we vote Democratic for president, and we've gone through a lot. Let's suggest that the state of Wisconsin has voted for some relatively weak Democrats along the way rather than vote Republican. My sense is that you will see in 2016, on balance, history tells us, Democrat wins the presidential race, high turnout election, likelihood that a Democrat wins the Senate seat. That is not me romantically suggesting something. It is just suggesting what the patterns of this state are.
Just to take it at face value for a moment, that Wisconsin politics are a mirror for Wisconsin people, what Wisconsin people want, and that means Wisconsin is leaning conservative right now, as it seems to be. Why would you think that that is?
Well, if we had a high turnout election where everybody came and voted, I think we'd vote very progressive. I think that our elections are lower turnout. I think we have seen massive inflows of out-of-state money. We still have much higher turnout than most places in the country, but it's hardly acceptable. But we've seen massive inflows of out-of-state money, which have filled a void as a lot of our media has become weaker, our newspapers thinner, our TV broadcasts more about weather than necessarily about democracy. We end up being inundated with advertisements, very few of which actually tell us anything about conservative politics. They usually tell you that somebody, some Democrat or some liberal, is a bad person, right? We have an immense amount of negative advertising. Again, I think we're in a transition as regards how we communicate about politics, how we communicate in general. In that transition, there are going to be people who can game it. But at the end of the day, I have great confidence in the people of Wisconsin that they will, in fact, sort it out pretty well and, in fact, end up in a relatively progressive place.
And so we've just got a few seconds here, but since we've got you here in the studio, what are your thoughts on the police shooting of teenager Tony Robinson over the weekend?
Well, it's heartbreaking, and it's hard for any city, but I think it's especially hard for a city like Madison that prides itself on hopefully trying to do things better. It's clear that there are real challenges, and today there are thousands of young people who've been out protesting, and to my mind, that's an incredibly healthy thing, because it may not be that the leaders in Madison adopt all of the proposals that the young people who are marching and demanding that we recognize Black Lives Matter, that we recognize needs for reforms and changes in policing, but that pressure will cause Madison ultimately to, I think, be a better place. So it's a dynamic that is painful at this point, but has potential to move us in some good ways.
John, thanks a lot for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with John Nichols, associate editor at the Capital Times and Washington correspondent at The Nation magazine.